Okay, we will now join. We will now start our post-race press conference with our winning team, the crew chief of the winning number 22 Ford for Team Penske. That's Paul Wolf, and the president of NASCAR operations for Team Penske, and that is Mike Nelson. We will go right to questions. If you have questions, please raise your hand, and we'll get you a mic for either Paul or Mike. We'll start with Bob while the rest of you think of some questions.
I'm Bob Parker's Fox Sports. Paul, I know you're not driving the car, but considering where you guys are in points, the way your season's gone, like, is that something that you're like, man, if you have a chance to win, you have to take it because of, you know, you guys aren't necessarily running top 3, 4, 5 every week right now.
What are you referring to, Bob?
I'm referring to the bump at the end of
the bump
Byron.
At the end?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't really feel like I need to have those conversations with Joey. I mean, he's experienced. He knows what's on the line, where we're at, and what he needs to do. You know, I mean, we got ran into the fence off at 2 on the restart. It's probably the only reason the 24 was in front of us to begin with. Obviously, our car was much better on the long haul. You know, anyone that got the lead, you know, is able to at least hold on for a while. And then eventually, if your car doesn't hold on a long run, then it's going to be hard to fight them off. So, fortunately, our car was good on the long run, and we were able to recover from losing the lead there. And, yeah, ultimately, we're there's a lot of guys with wins, and to your point, we aren't leading the points. So I think Joey knows where he's at and is going to do what he needs to do.
Go stay up front here to Matt. Get Matt a mic.
There you go.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. This could apply for either one of you guys, but do you think that the current level of parity that we have, I think it's 10 winners and 12 races, is going to be sustainable for the rest of the year, and then therefore that's going to make any opportunity to win a race all the more valuable than we've ever seen in recent history?
For my side, well, I mean our box to work in smaller. I think early in the season to where we're at today, I mean, teams are still learning a lot. We're still trying to figure out setups, where we want to be. I feel like that will tighten up as we get more opportunities at tracks and guys will start to figure it out and everyone will get closer, and I feel like for sure it'll get harder and harder. Obviously the Chevrolets have been strong and so are the Toyotas, but it was good for us to be able to come out here and show we had speed in qualifying and then back it up in the race. So yeah, it's going to be tough to win races. A lot of guys have speed right now, and I expect that just to get tougher as we go and everyone figures the car out.
Do you think it's more likely that the field could stay closer together as everyone kind of figures it out together, or that one team or organization could hit on something and then create that separation?
And I don't want to say never, but I feel like it'll be really hard to do just by the rules and what you got to work with. You know, in the past, there's opportunities to build this or that better, and right now you're really just using the pieces that you purchase, and it's really about how you put your shocks and springs and that type of combination. So it's going to be really hard to get an advantage, but I won't say nobody will.
Stay up here to the front to Alex.
Yeah. Alex Andrea with the Charlotte Observer. For Paul, did you think that Joey's car had the speed to catch up there with William at the end? Would he have caught him on that final lap? And I guess, is there any risk then in putting that move on him?
Well, once he'd kind of open up a pretty good lead on us there, maybe with 10 to go. And I thought at that point, maybe it was going to be hard to run him down, but, his car, the 24 really seemed to fall off pretty hard there on the longer run. And in the second half of the race, I thought our car was probably one of the better cars on the long run. And, obviously Joey was getting all he could out of it at the end. Obviously, track position's huge, and catching somebody's one thing and passing them's another. And I think we saw that a lot today with even earlier in the race when we probably weren't the fastest. We were able to still hold the lead just by having that clean air. And I think Joey knew he probably wasn't going to get more than one shot at it, and he took advantage while he could.
Any more questions? Go to Bob.
Bob Parker's Fox Sports for Mike. How do you feel about where you're at as far as car count, parts, pieces at this point in the season?
Yeah, we're definitely gaining on it. You know, it's a new car, so there's a lot to put together every week. And you know, you think about the number of parts and pieces that we've changed going into this year. And you know, it's definitely been challenging, especially at the early races. But I feel like we're, you know, slowly starting to get our feet underneath us. And you know, it's the same for everybody. So we're moving along and making progress every week.
Go to Pete.
Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. Paul, Joey's, you guys have had some good runs over the years here at Darlington. What was there a difference today than some of those other times when you guys were close?
Really, I mean, it's still Darlington. I mean, it was about, you know, managing your tires, see how your car was, short run, long run. You know, the way the car drove itself, that's probably a better question for Joey, you know, how he managed the car and from inside. But, yeah, it's keeping the track position. I think pit road was important to us, like it always is. But as far as kind of the way the race played out and what you would expect here at Darlington, I think it was pretty normal. Tires were important. You know, managing the tires today, we didn't have an abundance of tires, so that was a question mark, and early on when to take tires and not to. So tire management was a thing today, and not only on pit road, but and the driver behind the wheels. So, you know, it was, like I said, fortunate we were able to have the long run speed that you need to be able to keep that track position, and the guys did a good job on pit road.
Any final questions for Paul or Mike? We got two more. We got Deb, and then we'll go to Kelly.
Deb Williams, RacingToday.com. Mike, you've been a team engineer, and with your engineering background, how frustrating is it to be in this situation with the car right now, to where everybody's so equal and it's putting pieces together rather than developing?
Well, no matter the size of the box, there's always challenges for the race teams to try to be better than the other. And, you know, whether it's strategy, whether it's, you know, just the right combination of shocks and springs. So there's still a lot to learn. I think, you know, we're talking about parity and things like that. I mean, there's guys that figure things out on a weekly basis to get an edge. So, you know, any time that you make a change, there's a lot of a room for innovation, whether it be something that's a tangible part on the car or how you put those parts together or how you run the race. So we've got a lot of work to do and a lot of challenges ahead. So it's definitely a lot of fun to try to figure that out, as long as we get some wins along the way. So we're working hard at it, and you know, there's definitely a lot of ground to be covered with this car.
Kelly
Crandall, racer.com. Paul, yesterday when Joey came in here and was asked to kind of assess the season, one of the things that he said that stood out was, we're not fast enough. So how does that today you go out and lead the most laps and win the race. So why is he saying you're not fast enough, and how did that change overnight?
I guess we were so bad at Dover last week. You just remember your last race, right? I just feel like in general, over the last month or so, we don't feel like we've quite had the speed that we need to go out there and dominate and win races. You know, after the short practice we had yesterday and in qualifying, you know, there was a little hope there, but still, you know, how is that going to translate over to longer race runs, and would the car hang on? I think that was still a question mark. And like I said, early on in the race, you know, it kind of seemed like when the 5 was pressuring us and the 18 is like, well, you know, maybe we still are off on speed. But as the race progressed, the track really rubbered in, and the handling was important, and the long run speed, I felt like we got where we were we're pretty competitive, and I wouldn't say that anyone really had a big advantage on us from a speed perspective. So it was kind of interesting how that played out. And obviously some of those guys had trouble. I don't know, you know, if the 18 where he would have, you know, been if he was still in the race, but I felt a lot better about our car the second half of the race, and how it was on a long run. And I think that showed being able to drive back and put the pressure on the 24 for the win.
Any more questions? Anything from the press box? Okay. Paul, Mike, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
Okay, we're now joined by the winning driver of today's Goodyear 400, and that is Joey Logano. Joey, I'll start off with a question. I know you love talking about it yesterday, even though no one asked you. How is it like winning in that throwback of yours?
Thanks. Obviously, a really, really cool day today to be able to drive that car into victory lane. You know, I think about that throwback, and, you know, back in 95 is where it started for me in Meriden, Connecticut. And, you know, if you think you told if I was a 5-year-old self and I told my dad, hey, someday I'm going to put this thing on the pin in Darlington. I'm going to roll up next to you while you're driving an old Mustang. And then we're going to go win the race on Mother's Day. You know, you would never be able to imagine that, right? So God just works in mysterious ways sometimes. And, you know, you think of the last week we had and be able to come back and redeem ourselves after the last couple of weeks is says a lot about our race team, says a lot about, you know, the ability to recover and staying strong mentally and able to get something here at Darlington. It's been a close one for me for a long time, so it's nice to get in the victory lane for sure.
That's great. Congratulations again, and we'll open it up to questions. We'll go start here with Bob and then to Noah.
Bob Hockris, Fox Sports. How much of the bump on Byron is normal racing for the lead with two to go, and how much is it from the contact on the restart, and how much is it from the dynamic that you've led 35 laps all year and maybe don't know when you'll be in that position again?
No, I mean, to me, you know, I probably wouldn't have gone straight to the bump and run if it wasn't for how he got the lead. You know, he came off of turn two and drove me right into the wall. At that point, I'm lucky my car's not broken, and I'm a very angry driver. And I think anyone in the field would probably agree if someone's going to be willing to do that to you, well, the gloves are off at that point. And I knew if I got back there what I was going to do and what I had to do. And so, you know, that was the way he wanted to race. So I said, let's go. You know, if he passed me clean, it wouldn't have looked like that. But that was a situation that was there in front of me. And fortunately, I was able to get back there. And he obviously knew it was coming. He checked up into the corner pretty early. So he obviously knew it was coming. But, you know, I did what I had to do. Had to win the race. It was very important to win and get into the playoffs, obviously. You know, and what everything means to winning here. And like I said, all those things go into the equation of making the decision. Okay. Okay. Maybe from his side, but I felt the wall and his car all at the same time as I was sandwiched into the fence. So, okay. Cool.
Go to Noah.
Noah Lewis, TSJ Sports. Joey, you know, now going forward, obviously he was upset. Going forward, I mean, how do you process that and race him? Because you kind of got to expect maybe something will come.
We're equal. We're equal, man. You put me in the wall first. It's like I said, it's game on. At that point in my eyes, it's equal. If I punted him out of the way for no reason there, well, to win the race without him doing something to me in the past at any point, which he never has in the past. Yeah, and it's not like he meant to fence me. I don't think he meant to run me in the wall. The facts are he did. You know, and it's racing, and it kind of took the win out of my eyes and or out of my hands. And so at that point, like I said, you're going to have to do what you have to do to get the lead back in the same manner he got it. And so that's kind of how that works.
And then yesterday you were in here and kind of talked about how you guys were off and slow and things like that. And then you turn around and today you guys are fast. You know, what was all together? Because all together it was fast all day.
Beats me. It's crazy to go from where we were last weekend in Dover, where, you know, we were just off, right? Qualify mid-20s and really run mid-20s and getting wrecks and all that. So then you come back next weekend and fast off the truck, put it on the pin, lead a bunch of laps, win a stage, third another stage. I mean, that's a big day for us. So I don't know. But, you know, it just goes to show kind of what this next-gen car is right now, where no one really has it quite figured out yet.
Yep. Let's go over here.
Joey Dalton Hopkins with frontstretch.com. You said earlier this season that we're just not fast enough right now. I know it seems kind of silly now after a win, but do you feel like that your cars are indeed fast enough to compete? I know it's today was good, but do you feel more confident now?
I think it's one step at a time, right? Let's not we're never fast enough to answer your question. I don't think anybody on the field will ever say I'm fast enough. You always want to be faster. You know, and this was a good race for us for sure. Very unique racetrack though, right? Darlington's is one of a kind. You know, so I don't want to jump to any conclusions too quickly, but you know, we did have a solid car today. You know, times it was the fastest car, at times it was a third or fourth place car, but it was a top five car all day long, at the minimum. So, you know, execution and staying towards the front and all that is what kind of kept us in the hunt.
Any more questions for Joey down in the media center? We've got two more up front here, Mike and Matt.
Great hat, by the way.
I appreciate
That's
that.
A good one.
I debated between this one and a Somerville Speedway hat, but I got to represent Myrtle Beach. You mentioned how being up front and maintaining that track position was so important. Obviously, you have that first pit stall, and that played out in your advantage two or three times during the race. When you come into a weekend with this new car and knowing how important track position is trying to get the pole extra important because of that?
Yeah, it turns out I think so. Yeah, we were able to, you know, use that first pit stall a few times, like you said, where we came out, you know, the camera's right there in front of the first pit stall here, so it's quite the advantage to have it. And as many pit stops as you're going to have here, it's a pretty big deal, right? So that was it was a key piece to our victory for sure. Yep.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. It's kind of a similar question to the other questions about kind of the topsy-turvy season you guys have had. Is it too early to even, like, entertain the idea that this is kind of a must-win? Because you don't know if there could be 17 winners. We're on a pace to get there, but someone could break away, but it's a spec car. Is it a must-win?
I don't know if it's must win yet, but, you know, it's getting closer to it. Like you said, you know, week by week, as you get different winners. I do think at this point though, you see a lot of the same characters up front now. Like, you kind of can say, okay, here's some of the stronger cars that are consistently running up front. And then you may sprinkle in a couple every now and again that hit on something that weekend. Right. And so, I think as the season goes along, you're going to see more consistency in certain teams where they've kind of got a good mile and a half package or a good short track package or whatever it may be. You know, and there might be a couple of sprint in there, but I think that the normal cast of characters will show themselves more and more as the season goes and everything gets refined, I think.
I guess to that point, do you anticipate more that a team or two could break away from the pack, or do you think the kind of parity we've seen is going to continue all the way through the season?
I think there's a couple teams right now that have an advantage at the moment. Now, how long that lasts and how quickly things change in our sport, it's hard to say how long that lasts, but there's definitely, you know, two teams probably that stand out in my mind that are stronger than the rest right now.
Trackhouse
and Hendrick. Yeah.
Jeff, and then we'll go up to Dustin, and then Bob.
Jeff Hood of Racing Today. Joey, with about 10 to go, it looked like you were too far back, but then you came, and was he falling off, or had you saved something to run him down?
No, I was grinding it out the last 20 laps. I just went hard, and my car was pretty tight, but you had an angry race car driver in there. And there's something to be said for an angry race car driver. I'm telling you, there's a little bit more speed in the tank when you tick me off a little bit, and you're able to go a little bit faster. And the last, you know, five or six laps, I could see him getting pretty tight and struggling, 2, 3, and 4 in particular, but also a little bit 1 and 2. And I thought, I'm going to have a shot at this thing. And, you know, it's going to be close on the amount of laps and how quick I can catch him.
move up here to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A couple questions. One, obviously, in one sense, it hasn't been that long since you won with winning at the Clash, but to get a win and, you know, with some of the ups and downs, what does it just mean to win for you right now?
Obviously, it's great to win, right, at any point. But I think, like I said, over the last couple weeks, we've been kind of just – not the greatest, and you know, to, like I said, to recover and kind of go through that bit of a roller coaster ride, which, you know, you got to expect through every season. There's just kind of lulls, and then there's good times, and you got to capitalize when you have a car that can win. And that's what I kind of felt like this morning, and say, hey, this is probably the best car I've had all year long. It's the best shot I have to win. You know, you got to capitalize when you have a car that can do it right now, for sure. You know, so that opportunity is there to get a win, and you have to grab it any chance you can, because you just don't know with this new car. And like I said earlier, our speed's been a little bit inconsistent from track to track, so you know, you don't know when the next time you're going to have a car that's good. So we had to make the best of it when we had the chance.
And also, you reference the roller coaster. Obviously, the 11 has certainly been on one, and probably maybe in one sense maybe even more on the downway with some of the things have gone with them. You raced with him some today up toward the front. What did you see out of that car? Was had nothing happened to him, would he have been up there with you, or did you feel like you were still a better car than them today?
Yeah, I mean, there was a group of cars that were all pretty close, right? The 1, the 11, ourselves, the 24, the 18, you know, we're all fast at different points. At some points, the 18 looked like he was the fastest. At times, the 24 was the fastest. Times, the 11 was the fastest. We were the fastest. It just kind of like depended on the run and how you managed your tires and the adjustments you made to your car. But I thought it was really anybody's race. You know, the 11 was pretty good. But, you know, I'd say before the last green flag pit stop, I was trying to pass him. So I was right on him. So I'd say we were maybe a little better on a long haul than him. But he fired off a tick faster than me and got the lead from us. So, yeah, it just kind of depends on how you want to look at it, at what point. But I'd say there was probably 4 or 5 cars under a blanket today.
Thank you.
Yep. Bob?
I have a couple more. Byron called you a moron. Do you care?
Bob, I've been called a lot of things. A lot worse than moron, too. I just witnessed a lot of it when I got out of the car, actually. But, no, I've that's fine. Whatever. What you want.
And when you were describing it earlier, you said you did what you had to do. So why do you have to do? Is it because you can't afford people to drive you like that again? Is it strictly trophy, or is it playoffs? What makes that move? Why do you have to do that?
I mean, it's like I said before, if you're willing to make the move to get the lead by doing that, right, by running a car into the wall, you have opened up the door for retaliation and to get a victory. And when it was only 20-something laps before that, you got to expect it coming. That's why he went in the corner low and slow, because he knew it was coming. You know, so that's – yeah, I mean, is it what you have to do? Yeah, you have to do that in that situation. You know, you're not going to get pushed around. You know what I mean? There's no I'm not going to get bullied that much. So, you know, that's how the sport works. Our sports worked like this for years. You know, like I said, if that wasn't how it happened, if that's not how he took the lead, I'm not making that move. I'm going to try to, you know, race cleaner and try to, you know, make the pass a different way. But at that point, I knew there was one way to guarantee a victory. And so I was taking that maneuver at that point.
Stay up front to Alex.
Alex Andreev with the Charlotte Observer. There were as many DNFs today in this race as there were at Talladega. I'm curious, where do you think that comes from? Why? Is it just Darlington? Was this race in particular?
Yeah, I think these cars, you know, we talk about this a little bit, you know, but the cars on the slick surface, like Darlington, Fontana, right, we saw, and the bumps that go along with that too, the cars become very snappy and hard to control when they get sideways, they just spin out. Right? The old car used to have a big sail on the side, you know, that big door. And when it got loose, it wanted to be out there, right? And you're able to kind of catch it and work it and all that stuff. Now, this car, once it starts getting sideways, the diffuser shuts off, all these things just go the wrong way, and it wants to spin out even quicker. So there's a point where everything's really good, and then if you go past it, it's a light switch, and all hell breaks loose. And so when you take a track that has less grip and the car naturally wants to yaw out more, it puts you on that edge more. And then when you add the bumps to it, as low as we're trying to run the cars and, you know, cars hitting the wear blocks off of two, you know, or whatever, however setup they have it, right? It just becomes very unpredictable when you hit a bump and then it gets sideways quick and it's gone. So it's tricky right now as the teams try to understand how do you make speed in the car with also having the drivability and raceability in the car. And it's a pretty big challenge right now for us to figure out. And I think that's why you see so many crashes, especially at tracks like this.
Any final questions for Joey? Wrap it up here with Mike.
I forgot last time, Mike Neff in the Pits Media. With the car last year, we saw a lot of people able to make speed kind of on a low line or down near the apron, and it seemed like today you might be able to do that for a couple laps, but that was about it. Was it just a matter of the aero on this car and, like you said, wanting to yaw out so much you had to go to the top line, or was it just a matter of there not enough grip down on the bottom line?
Yeah, I can't say I know the answer to that, but it definitely did not seem like the bottom was as much of a play as it has been. I don't know why. It seemed like as the track cooled off and the sun was going down, the pull down lane started working where you can enter, you know, up in the, you know, by the wall, and then at the center 2/3, you kind of crank it down a little bit and straighten out your exit and make a run that way. It seemed like that came in as the sun went down, but it still wasn't like you can just wrap the bottom like you've seen Kevin do here for years, or you know, or other cars, right, that can do that. So I don't know why. I don't have the answer to that one.
Joey, congratulations on the big win, and good luck in Kansas next week.
Thank you, guys.